If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox, inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what have we got this week in recovery news?
So we have a little bit of a sad story, but a family was awarded $77 million in wrongful death case against Addiction Treatment Center days after he was abruptly discharged from the center over a cell phone violation. Nick Caracillo was hit by multiple vehicles on a Georgia interstate. He was basically thrown out of the addiction treatment center because he was on his cell phone. And what happened was he went out and somehow, you know, got hit by a bunch of cars and was killed. So the family was given $77 million, and it was the Metro Atlanta Recovery Residences, or MAR, who says they're planning to appeal and are not commenting further on the ongoing litigation.
Wow. Yeah, that is a sad story. You know, it's another story about addiction and what horrible things can happen to you. If they're appealing it, I imagine they haven't received that money yet.
I would imagine. But, you know, you hear about these stories of somebody leaving early and overdosing or something bad happening.
Yeah.
But it's a shame to think that it was over a cell phone violation. I mean, we don't know the rest of the story, but it is definitely a shame, you know?
Yeah. Mark, do you know the difference between legalization of a drug and decriminalization of a drug?
Yes.
What is your take on that?
Okay, so legalization means that it's legal to use the substance, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get in trouble for using the substance. Decriminalization would actually mean that it is still illegal to use the substance, but they're not going to press charges on people. A lot of that in downtown Philadelphia, you'd have a lot of decriminalization for the last couple of years.
Right. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, this leads me into – we're talking about psilocybin, magic mushrooms. And for the time being, Oregon is the only jurisdiction where psychedelics enjoy decriminalization at a state level. This does not mean these drugs are legal, just as you said. The use of psychedelics in the state fall under two categories. Depending on the substance, psilocybin is only one falling into a special category. Legal psychedelics in California. In California, two cities have passed local reform decriminalizing the use of naturally produced psychedelics.
Yeah, and we had some stories on here before how they're thinking about using it in therapy and for a possible new antidepressant coming out. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years with the whole legalization movement.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time.
I do too.
You know,
I do too. I think it's just like you said. I mean, I think that as years go by, more things are going to become legal and we're probably going to have more problems too.
Definitely, definitely. Listen, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about changes, changing yourself in recovery. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses in Devon, PA and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY today.
Hey, everybody. This is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Terrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back. You know, let's. I did want to talk about changes. Before I do that, I just want to talk about we're also heard, besides live in Philadelphia, we're heard on KDWN in Las Vegas, WHFS Tampa, Florida, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and also in Philadelphia, 97.5 High Def 1, 2.
2.
All right, Wes says 2. All right, so changes. Mark, this is it's an interesting subject. And you know, I'll tell you something. I was on the beach this weekend, and a guy came up to me and said, you know, I have a good subject for your show. And I said, what is it? And he said, changes. Do you really have to change to improve yourself in recovery?
Yeah, you really do. You know, as a clinician, it's funny. It's ironic we're talking about this because that's one of the things we've been talking about in group all week.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, we got to change so many different things. And humans are such creatures of routine that we're in these unhealthy comfort zones that are so rigid, you know, and we can be so obsessive. And then you get in recovery. And one of the things that we do in treatment is we actually sometimes plan each day. Like, I'm going to avoid this area. I'm going to go to a meeting at this time. And in the beginning, really do that each day until somebody forms what we call a new comfort zone, you know. But it's so hard to make those changes.
Well, you know, recovery, I think there are levels of recovery. All right. Yeah. Listen, you can just put down the dope and the booze and go on your merry way. I don't suggest that, or maybe it's a start, but there are different levels. You know, if you want to better yourself, you know, do you have to get rid of your circle of friends? Do you have to start being responsible? Do you have to stop lying, stop stealing? Do you have to do all that to stay in recovery?
So for some people, there's certain things that they absolutely can't do because they'll use. I find that it differs a little bit from person to person.
Yeah.
But I just remember coming into recovery and it was so hard because you hear this whole people, places, and things. And everybody I knew was using something.
Yeah.
And so it can seem so overwhelming at first.
Yeah.
To look at this and be like, hey, I can't go here. I can't go there. Because I get triggered all the time. I was talking to somebody earlier this month that lives in a bad neighborhood and literally was having to hide out, you know, in his own house because drug dealers are on the corner.
Yeah.
He goes outside. People ask him if he wants to get drugs.
Right.
And that's so unhealthy, too, because he can get so isolated. But it really gets complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you're just joining us, Mark and I are talking about changing, what things we need to change and what things we don't need to change once we get in recovery. And if you want to join us in our conversation, our new phone number is 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. And if you're just listening and you want to watch Mark and I do this, whatever we're doing here, go to Facebook and go to our page, which is Clean and Sober Radio, and you can actually watch us do the show, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and call us and tell us what changes you had to make. I always find it so interesting to hear people's stories about early recovery and what changes did we have to make?
Right. And, you know, everybody, I think, needs to realize we're not 100% anything. All right. You know, don't tell me you're tell me you're 100% clean. That's for sure. But don't say you're 100% honest, 100% this, 100% that. We try to do our best, but none of us are perfect. And, you know, be realistic.
Do you remember those first weekends of sobriety? Like, I just remember, you know, being 26, 27 years old and being like, what am I going to do? It's Saturday night. You know, it's Friday night. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, the fear was, how can I have fun if I'm not getting high? I mean, how can I go on an airplane? How can I go to a restaurant? How can I do anything without getting buzzed?
And if you don't have this, it's hard to kind of conceptualize what we're talking about. That, but most of us really forgot how to function without it. You know, it was like how, just like you said,
it was. It was very scary to get clean.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because of what I was missing, was arrests. I mean, losing everything. But our brains, you know, were so twisted and so, you know, they weren't, whatever it is in there was not connected, that became our reality.
It did. I remember my friends were all, it was early recovery, and my friends were all going camping. And I thought to myself, well, I can go. I just got to ask them to leave all the drugs and alcohol at home, you know, and I actually did ask them. You know, and they didn't do it, of course. And then I hopped a resentment. I was like, but I couldn't go. I remember sitting there that weekend and just feeling so low.
I remember one of the things that I was told in rehab was to call the people that you're using and tell them you can't be associated with them anymore. And man, I got some bad responses. Not like, hey, good for you, but blank, blank you. And
wow, that's old school. So they actually told, like, from in rehab to call them?
Yeah.
So you had
when I got out.
Oh, when
we
you
couldn't
got
use
out.
The phone anymore.
And so
when
you
I
did it.
Right when I got out. And I did it.
Were you just like, hi, this is Gary.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I got to tell you something. I just got out of rehab and I can't have anything to do with you anymore.
Gosh. That's definitely old school.
Can you imagine?
No.
Hey, we got a lot of people watching us now. Let's just run through them. My wife Marjorie Hendler's watching. Debbie Reynolds, Bob Moeller, Laura Story, Charlotte Littlefield, and she says Woosley is watching. Now, I don't know
who that is.
Maybe it's her pet. I don't know. I don't want to assume anything. Happy sober Friday, guys. Have a great weekend, Laura Story, Linda Carroll, William Schiffman, Susan Shimansky is watching.
Bob Moeller says, change, I must, or drink, I will.
I like that. I like that. Kathy Wolf Collin is watching. Robin Davidson. Paul Janice. I think new. I don't remember.
I think I have a new one, too. Thomas Davis says, thank God for treatment. In 2003, I was transported to self-help movement. Since then, I haven't found any reason to use nothing. I just celebrated 19 years clean.
Well, big congratulations. Big congratulations. Isn't that, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially because I don't know about you, but I didn't think it was possible to change. I mean,
no way, man.
Like, when you,
me.
I'm sorry.
Brad,
I'm pointing.
He's going to point at me. I was the worst. You know what I mean? Listen, give us a call at 1-888-728-9941. Let us know what changes you had to make and what changes you absolutely would not make.
Yes. And Thomas Davis says, people, places, and things. Yeah. Call us and tell us about that.
Yeah. So
what was it like?
And what, you know, what things today are you still doing besides using that you did when you were out there? Because come on, let's be honest, everybody, we're not perfect.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's crazy because I see this manifest on a daily basis with things like, I love this certain kind of coffee at Wawa.
Yeah.
And every day when I go by this Wawa, you know, I'll think like I should go in and get it. And most of the time I do, you know, but it's such a rigid routine.
Uh-huh.
That happens in so many different areas without being an active addiction. Do you see that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, I'm glad.
And don't put me on the spot. But, you know, there are things, at least that I still think about, maybe not act upon, that were in my head when I was using.
Oh, yeah, they don't go away.
They don't go away, right?
No. They just get quieter.
I just think now they get quieter, and I think now we realize what the outcome could be if we act on these impulses.
Gosh. You're hitting such a point there of, you know, this whole idea of, like, being able to actively play the tape to the end, like to remember where this leads. Like, that was it was impossible back in the day. It was like we didn't think about that.
Absolutely not, man. Absolutely. But no, you always do say you have to play the tape all the way through.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest things, like in group and stuff with clients in early recovery. We go over this all the time to battle what we call as euphoric recall.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, euphoric recall is the tendency to remember the things we like about something, but screening out the negatives. And so this whole idea of being able to recall the devastation is just crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. A little couple stories here. Delaware, you know, that state that borders Pennsylvania.
With no taxes,
with
right?
With no taxes. Police seize enough fentanyl to kill 750,000 people in a record-breaking Delaware drug bust. Police arrested 28 members of a powerful crime organization and seized enough fentanyl to kill 750,000 people. It's inconceivable.
It is. And I'm getting so tired of it. I'm getting so tired of the articles that say this could kill 2 million people. And you too?
Listen, I think people are getting tired of listening to any of these stories anymore. You know, just what you said, especially people who have not have any, you know, have not been affected by addiction. They don't want to hear, a lot of them don't want to hear it anymore.
And really, it's like, what's the we got to work on a solution. I mean, this is insane.
It's not getting any better, Mark.
It isn't.
Right?
It isn't. You know, they cracked down on China, used to be a big producer of the chemicals for fentanyl.
How did you say that? China? How did you say that?
China.
China. Okay, China. Go ahead.
So they used to, but we actually, the United States cracked down on it, and now Mexico has opened all kinds of different labs that are producing the chemicals that China was producing. For fentanyl.
It's crazy. Hey, Stephen Sussman's watching from Florida. Betsy Green, great topic. Mike Siberia was watching. It is a good topic. Get honest, everybody. Come on, get honest. We have a caller on the line. Bob, are you there?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm sober today, man. That's all that counts.
That's right.
Thank God.
All right, Bob, give us a little – Bob, can you tell us one thing that you're still thinking about at the least or doing that you did in your addiction?
Hmm.
All right, forget. Yeah, I'll give you
a set of questions.
That wasn't true. But no, it's something to think about. Yeah. Bob, you don't need to answer that, but it is something to think about, you know, how we're doing in recovery. Right, Bob?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the month, I'll have 37 years.
Oh,
so,
my.
I mean,
wow.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you something, though, about change.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dealing with somebody in my life right now that they can't let go of their will. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that we got to change. We got to let go of our will.
Oh. I thought you meant a document, will.
Our will.
Okay, our will. Okay, yeah.
There's a difference between, you know, doing the next right thing and doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm. That's very. I like that.
You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll celebrate 37 years on the 30th.
It's amazing.
Congratulations.
And let me ask you this. In early recovery, when you think back 37 years, what kind of changes did you have to make to get sober? And, you know, now obviously you have 37 years of sobriety, but what kind of changes did you have to make early on, Bob?
Everything. I had, like you said, people, places, and things. I had to move from Ardmore to Westchester. because I knew I couldn't get sober in Ardmore. And the ironic part about that was I was sober 6 months and my sponsor brought me to Bryn Mawr press meeting back then. And I ended up making coffee that damn meeting for 6 months on Thursday night.
Right.
And that kept me sober. But I mean, the change, I had to start getting honest. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You got to be honest. You have to be open-minded. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes just not to pick up a drink. That's the bottom line.
It really must become your priority in your life.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that my God, sobriety, and family are the three things that are the most important in my life because I'm a retired school teacher. So at this point, I don't have to worry about teaching in Philly.
Right. Are there any things that you were proud of before you got into an addiction that you could now be proud of yourself again for maybe those same things? I don't know if that even made any sense what I said, but, you know, the period of time when we're using was like a gap in our lives. And, you know, we did have a life before addiction. And are there any things that now you can enjoy again in a responsible way that you were able to accomplish before you got into your addiction?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I'm a baseball fanatic. I played baseball all my life. I played organized baseball until I was 44. And I coached baseball. And the interesting part about it was I was coaching my nephew. And he was at Marple Senior High, and he came to play for me in the Summer League. Yeah. And that was 1988.
Uh-huh.
I had coached for 7 straight years and had some terrible teams. Do you know the only championship I ever won? It was in 1988. I was sober 3 years. And my nephew pitched the game that we won the championship.
Wow, that must have made you feel great.
It made me feel really good. And you know what? He did it on the night that my dad died. He came to me and says, "Should I pitch?" And I said, "What would Pop tell you to do?" My father was a first-generation American. He came over on the boat from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm basically the other thing that I'm proud of is I went to school to college to teach, and it took me 13 and a half years of being sober before I got my first teaching job. And I started at Radnor Middle School, and then I ended up at Strawberry Mansion High School in Philly.
Right. These are schools outside of Philadelphia, by the way.
Well, Radnor Middle is, yeah, but Strawberry Mansion's not.
Right.
Strawberry Mansion's at 32nd and Ridge.
Right. Most of our audience is not from around here, so I just want to give them some perspective of what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's basically it.
That's a great memory. You know, and you're still thinking about it. So it had a big impact on you. That game and when your dad passed.
Yep. And the other thing I'll tell you is, you know, working the program, I had to do a 9-step and I wasn't ready to do it. But I made a commitment to my sponsor to go to Lankin Hall and do my 9-step with my dad. Little did he know I had set it up so that my dad was supposed to have chemo in the afternoon. I was supposed to get there at 2:30 in the afternoon. I got there at 2:30. That was the day my dad decided to stop having chemo. And I was there, and all he said to me was, "You are becoming the son that I always wanted you to become." And let me tell you something. That's kept me sober a long, long time.
Boy, you know what? Those words, they're none better than that to hear from your father or your parent.
Nope. You're right.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. That's good stuff. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate your support. Have a great weekend, and we have to take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about how honest are you really?
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, honesty is a big part of recovery. And, you know, for many, it's hard to get honest. Nobody's getting totally honest, okay? That's a fallacy. If you disagree with me, call us and tell us how exactly perfect you are. And Mark and I will be the judge.
You know, this brings up a thing about denial. You know, I get people that come in and they're like, I don't have a problem. Even though, you know, two DUIs, all this. And I try to figure out, like, are they actually lying to themselves or is this a actual just denial? And I think sometimes they just can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, but it is an interesting thing.
It definitely is. You know, it's like before we went on, I said, you know, I've heard some people, they say they're clean and sober in recovery. But there, you know, sometimes it perks, you know, or I'm just smoking weed, you know, or I'm just smoking weed. And I'm like, I don't even argue with, you know, I don't, what are you going to say?
Yeah. And you wonder, like, that level of dishonesty with ourselves. And I guess it crosses into denial. I don't know exactly how it works, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, you can fool yourself all you want.
I mean, just think about how much we fooled ourselves in active addiction.
Oh, yeah. Rationalization.
Oh.
I mean, excuses, lies, theft.
Yeah.
Right?
It's you have a voice in your head that some people nickname Slick. In 12-step programs, Slick. They say the disease. And this thing talks. I mean, in our own voices. And tries to get you to destroy yourself in so many ways.
It is amazing how we can destroy ourselves. Just ourselves. We don't need anybody out there to do it. Just ourselves.
Yeah. Imagine if we were alone on an island somewhere. We'd figure out some way to just totally destroy ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't work out well. And, you know, we have one of our callers is saying that – to get one more day, I make meetings. This is from Thomas Davis.
Yeah.
I make meetings. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I stay connected because if nothing changes, nothing changes. I need to change everything in order for recovery to work. I live a quiet, serene life. I don't have a lot, but what I have, I'm grateful for, and I earned it. Change I must or die I will.
I love it. Hey, Thomas, I love what he just said. It's all right on point.
Yeah, give us a call, Thomas, 888-728-9941.
Well, we can make up stories in our head. I still do.
Not like I used to. I've heard your story.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you have to be so careful. And I think this is something that, you know, if you have an injury and you're put on a medication for the injury – we have to be so careful to be sharing that with our sponsor or sharing that because it's easy to rationalize and think, well, it's only an hour early. You know, I could take it an hour early.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. You're hiding your thoughts. You're only as sick as your thought, as your, what do they say? You're sick as your lies, as your secrets. Yeah.
They get stronger.
They get stronger and louder.
And louder.
You know, a lot of people are watching us today. Ted Klotz, John Reagan, Warren Crispell, Justin Bryant. Oh, Kathy Burlingame is watching. Love that I can watch you on Facebook. We love it too. You know, it's more interaction into this show.
It's super cool. And, Yeah. So give us a call. Yeah. Let us know. How did you change in early recovery?
Yeah.
Because we all had to change. And you know what I was thinking about before we took the break?
What?
About how much we changed in active addiction from what we were.
Oh, exactly.
You know, like what hobbies went out the door? What relationships went out the door? Did we stop going to certain, you know, places that were healthy? You know?
Alienation.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. You're right. It's sad to think of it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You had a certain life and then the drugs and the booze kicked in and you became a different person.
Yeah. I wish I could go back.
To which way?
Back.
You mean before?
Yes.
Before you got clean, right?
Yes. And never touched the stuff.
Right. But you know what's funny?
Yeah.
Don't you wish in a way you could go back into your addiction, like at the beginning when it was fun for that short, you know, it was fun until it was no good. But there are some good thoughts. I mean, good memories until I played the tape out totally.
Yes.
And then it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And both of you and I are lucky to be here.
Yes, we are. And euphoric recall was just what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
It's like we have to be careful of those thoughts of the times we like because we all had them.
Yeah. Milan, Italy. Italian police stopped a shipment of coffee beans filled with cocaine. Police in Milan airport stopped a suspicious shipment of coffee beans from Colombia. Huh. Upon further investigation, they found 500 beans filled with cocaine. You know, people will do anything for money. I mean, that's another – we don't have to get into that addiction, but I'm saying – all these stories we read, the horrific ones about, you know, smuggling drugs and everything, the mind is so twisted. They don't play the tape out to understand or realize what they do to people because of their greed.
Yeah. And interestingly, Colombia, my wife is from Colombia, and what she'll tell you is there is not a lot of cocaine use down there. Right. They're
it's
just
all
selling
exported.
It. Oh yeah, they're like these gringos are spending all this money on it, but they a lot of them know to stay away from it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mark, did you have to get rid of most of your friends when you got clean?
No, I certain ones.
Yeah.
Certain ones.
How
but,
did you do that?
So I just stopped. I got rid of my phone number at one point. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like just distanced myself. You know, and then at the same time started adding friends from meetings.
Right.
You know, which was really important.
Right. And I guess the old friends, the old tapes, they finally understood that, you know what?
Yeah.
He's in a different place now. And he, you know.
Yeah.
I remember feeling horrible when some of my friends got sober and I was still out there. I didn't want anything to do with these people.
And I, you know, it's crazy because I remember in use. I remember approaching somebody that was in AA and I still look back. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I needed to take a drug test. And I'm like, well, this guy is clean. And I asked him for his urine, you know, it did not go over well. He wasn't happy about it, but I still look back and I'm like, wow, what insanity, you know, that I would think that to pass this drug test, I have to go to somebody, you know, that's working a program. And I didn't think anything of it, you know?
Absolutely.
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, stinking thinking. Hey, for just joining us now, Mark and I are talking about changes. What kind of changes did you make? What kind of changes did you refuse to make? And give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941.
Yeah. Do you ever find that, like, you fall into something very addictive that it's not illegal or not, you know, that you have to, like, in recovery, make a complete change?
Okay, let me try.
It's a loaded question.
No. I'm trying to. You mean, like, if you're over, you know.
Eating
or gambling.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'm not a gambler.
I'm not either. I can't believe I'm not a gambler.
Me too.
Right?
Of course.
That's right. We're other things, Mark, but we're not gamblers.
We're not gamblers.
Yeah, stuff that is not illegal, and you're collecting stamps, and now you're buying 50,000 stamps, or you know, you're exercising four times a day, you know, or you're going to five meetings a day. I think it's a little weird, okay? Because I believe that this recovery is for you to start to live your life in a positive way.
So balance.
Balance. Yeah, that's a good point.
Gosh, that's a hard one to hit sometimes,
isn't
it? It
is. It certainly is.
Nothing like it.
Yeah, let me see. I got a couple. Let me see something. Miami-Dade, Florida, June of 2022. The Miami-Dade Police Department recorded a suspected drug deal with an unmanned aerial drone. The first time the police agency has used a drone to capture an alleged criminal act.
Oh, my gosh.
Drones.
A drone. That's a little big brother right there.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine in the future. I never even thought of that. They can fly drones off the corners and get video of somebody selling drugs.
It's crazy.
I mean, there's no way to warn about that. You know how they have lookouts?
Here's how you avoid that. You stop all the criminal activity. Then you don't have to worry.
Yeah, it's
isn't
great.
That easier said than done?
It is. It is. Yeah.
The United States Coast Guard to offload $220 million worth of seized cocaine in San Diego. Drugs worth roughly $220 million that were seized in international waters this year will be offloaded Wednesday, I guess off the ship next Wednesday in San Diego.
Why are they announcing this? I mean, let's put it in the paper so every robber from all of California can be at this.
Yeah. Let me ask something.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel bad when you hear these giant drug busts? They're horrible. But I can just laughing. I just want to see the person who was shipping this stuff when he found out he lost millions of dollars.
Oh. And I, you know, when I really feel bad,
what?
Is watching the show Locked Up Abroad.
Oh, where, don't get me started on
that. I mean, that I watch that and I'm like, these guys think they're home free, and then they're like facing like 10 to 15 years in
and
prison.
And they're usually pathetic people, low level, that are being absolutely used.
Yes.
I do watch that show, and it's scary.
It is scary. And, you know, and they'll have it packed away, and they're, you know, they're getting paid $3,000 or something to smuggle this stuff in.
Right. It's desperation.
Yeah. I would like to see what really happens to them if they end up getting 10 years or if the judge has some leniency, hopefully, with them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's pretty disturbing, you know. Well, that's because you and I have a fascination with prisons. That's another reason, right?
Yeah.
Listen, if you need help now, and I'm sure there are people listening and watching that could use help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That number is very important, 1-800-662-HELP, and you will absolutely get help. That phone number is for real.
And isn't a suicide hotline number came out too?
Yes, it did recently.
Yes.
Is that connected to this? I'm not sure.
I don't think so, but maybe one of our viewers could look up the actual number. It's like 911, but it's not
988.
What is it?
Thank you.
988.
Wes is on it, man.
He really is. So on it. So if you're really feeling hopeless and you're really feeling like, you know, hurting yourself, even before you get to that point where it's, you know, you're ready to do it, call. I've had so many people where they struggle with suicidal thoughts and they feel ashamed to tell people.
Yeah.
And you really got to just get the help. Give it a call. 988, right?
988.
988.
Wes says 988.
Yeah.
And, you know, also on your refrigerator, we've said this many times, you should have the number of a rehab or a hotline. And if you need help at that moment, you can utilize that phone number. You don't want to start looking around, scrambling around for numbers to get help. It's just like poison control. That's on your refrigerator. Put this number, 1-800-662-HELP. Or if it's a suicide issue, 988.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, it's all about early warning signs, being able to pick up on this stuff before it gets way out of control.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, you know what we didn't mention? We probably should. Queen Elizabeth died yesterday.
I'm fascinated the fact that she became queen, I think it was 7 years after World War II, and she knew Winston Churchill, and they talked and all of this. I mean, I was watching. It's crazy how long she's been around.
The longest monarch in the history of English monarchs. It was in 1953. And it was close to 70 years she's been on there. I think she was a very cool lady. Now, this leads me to my subject of dysfunctional families. And we don't know what the substances were, but there was a lot of dysfunction in that family and still is.
Yeah. You know? I wonder I guess we know where that comes from, fame and money and, you know, all those things.
Yeah. You know, one son today became king of England, and one son was hanging out with Epstein and all that
before
nonsense, you know.
And Harry and the other
William,
they're not even talking right now. Supposedly, there's some kind of family fight.
I think they have that together, but they seem. I think that generation of rulers will be, more realistic, not as stuffy, and because I know at least Harry is very, very concerned with human rights and people's dignity and helping people. Yeah. So I think he got that from his mother, Diana, who was also into that. And time marches on. Queen Elizabeth, she led an incredible life. I'm assuming it was incredible. And that's the life cycle.
Yeah. And when the world got smaller for me?
When?
Is in 2020 when Zoom AA and NA started. Because you go to sometimes these meetings and there's people from England, from Germany, from all across the world on these meetings.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's super cool. Yeah. I mean, it's before I felt a little bit like I was in a bubble with this stuff, but then it's worldwide.
Have you ever been in another country to an AA meeting?
Yes.
Where were you?
Costa Rica, and they spoke Spanish, and I did not understand.
I thought you could understand a little bit.
At that point, I couldn't. Now I can un poquito little bit.
Is that a curse word?
That's a little in Spanish, but I'm still very far from fluent in Spanish.
Yeah. I was in a meeting in Paris, and I saw somebody at the meeting I knew. That was crazy.
Really?
Absolutely. The woman worked at the Strecker program that I went through, rehab, and she was in this meeting in France. What are the chances of that?
What did you – when you saw her, did you guys look at each other that maybe this is someone else but they look the same?
No. Or I couldn't believe it. It was just – it was so long. It was 1985.
Yeah.
Let me see who else. Stephen Davis.
Katie Burling.
Yeah, she said she's calling in. Katie, where are you? I gave you the number. Bob Giro is watching. Crystal McCorkle is watching. Yeah.
Ted Klotz, in early recovery, I felt like a light for other people as I was the chair for the meeting. I was there for me and others. I felt like I had some ego things going on with me. Now I'm humble and can admit I need other addicts and I'm not special.
Nice. Humble. Humble's real important. 1-888-728-9941. Stay with us. Call us, whatever, and we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. the Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HigherCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hey, this is Andy Powell of Wishbone Ash, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Mark, you know, some changes are difficult to make, and I was just thinking, what if you have a spouse? You're in recovery, and you have a spouse that is an addict. Or you have a child who is an addict. You can't just walk away.
Yeah.
That's real hard stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, I work with families a lot, and there's such a degree of powerlessness where somebody, a family member is, you know, they feel no powers, and they're trying to over-control the situation. You know, they're trying to say, if I do this, my son's going to get clean. If I do this, and then they keep on getting let down and let down and let down. And there is a part of kind of surrendering as a family member that I don't have the power to change somebody else. You know, they have to do it themselves.
You know, it's so much easier said than done.
When
people say, you know, tough love, that is really difficult.
And it's so difficult. And again, you're much more qualified. You've dealt with this on a personal level.
Yep. Yep.
But it's so difficult because you really don't know what's going to happen with tough love. You know, you could throw somebody out, but hey, are they going to go in OD? You know, so it really differs person, family to family. I mean, it's not a cut in stone kind of thing.
It's very difficult, you know, because this is a family disease.
Yeah.
You know, it goes way beyond the individual who is an addict, the whole family. And you're right. You know, you can tough love. You know, what if you throw your kid out and the kid overdoses? Now what happens? You're the guilt that you would have. So there's no set answers, I believe, in how to get sober and how to help somebody else. I think it's just – it's almost a crapshoot. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, different things. I mean, I just can't even imagine. I can't, you know, again, not having been there on a personal level. It's so difficult. So difficult.
It definitely is. Listen to this one. Maine. You know that state up top there?
Yes.
You've heard of it, right? Maine DEA agents and police seize cocaine disguised as a cake in a drug bust. Two people were arrested in Gardner, Maine, after DEA agents and police found $200,000 worth of cocaine in their car, including 2 pounds disguised as a cake. Now, inside of a cake, or the cake is made up as cocaine? How stupid. These are true. These stories are true, even though they sound absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. You know, nobody thinks they're going to get caught or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I got one for you there, Gary, pull it up here. I was going to share this earlier. Louisiana man arrested for possession of sharks and meth. A man is facing charges in Louisiana after investigators said they found him with an illegal number of sharks as well as drugs. Basically, the agents said that they were on patrol in Oyster Bay Bayou, Louisiana, when they saw a man throwing a shark overboard during a compliance check. Investigators performed a check and found an undersized shark, suspected methamphetamine, and drug paraphernalia. And this guy's in big trouble now. But I was scratching my head when I was reeling
that. You mean the stuff was inside the shark?
No, he was – I guess he was fishing for sharks. and he was keeping undersized sharks and too many sharks.
And they busted him on that
and found meth and drug paraphernalia. But I'm thinking, this guy's on meth and he's out shark fishing. You know, I'm scratching my head, Gary.
Beating his brains out, right?
Yes. Scratching my head.
Oh, my God. Let me see if there's one or two more of these ridiculous things. Massive college drug ring busted last month. Federal prosecutors say more than $1.5 million in drug sales were made from 2017 to 2022 by the defendants on the campuses of Duke University, UNC, Chapel Hill, and Appalachia State University. So, you know, I'll tell you something. When I was in college, you didn't hear about selling on campus. At least I didn't. Now it's prevalent, right? I mean,
yeah, it was in college. There were dealers when I was in college in the 90s. But yeah, and you know, the thing that really freaks me out about college campuses is the fentanyl issue. Back in my day, there was a lot of ecstasy around and things like that. But yeah, you can imagine that these kids can get drugs that they don't think are fentanyl, and they're laced.
Is there? You can ask me this, but I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask me if you don't want to answer the question.
All right.
Is there anything now in your life you feel like you need to change?
Yes. I got to change my diet.
Okay.
Yes. I drink way too much soda, and I eat too much junk food, and I just want to work on my health that way. My blood pressure went down. I lost 10 pounds because of COVID.
Good. All right.
Well, and my blood pressure went down 10 pounds or 10 points.
Yeah. Well, this stuff he's drinking, it's not sugar-free. But as I heard a couple weeks ago, it's probably better to drink this than the horrible chemicals. So it's food. Food is difficult, man. It's all around and it's legal.
And, you know, when you get a good meal, then it's the same kind of thing. More, more, more. You know, where you get it, kind of get obsessive with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. How about you?
I need to work on patience, okay? As one of my best friend's wife says, I am very non-patient with people, but I am readily able to forgive. Mm-hmm. So patience.
I could see
that. I don't like long-winded conversation. Just tell me what you have to. So it's a really bad trait that my intention span is, as you know, Mark.
I do.
Is not real.
I do.
Extensive.
But you come around. You know what I mean? Like, you come around afterwards, and you know, you kind of recognize it.
Yeah.
So
you know what? We should find out. 4 minutes. Hey, Brad. Is there anything you need to work on?
Everything,
huh?
Especially food.
Food?
Oh, yes.
All right.
I haven't met a burger I didn't like.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, Wes, our producer, how about you? Anything you need to work on? Hey, Wes is leaving here, and he's going to a big-time station in Philly, so congratulations.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what?
What?
food for me, too, because I like my comfort food. Like Brad said, I've never met a burger I didn't like. So I not to piggyback on Brad's answer, but that's mine too.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty common thing. You know, food is all around and it is comforting. I personally like Peeps.
I like McDonald's.
You like McDonald's?
Yeah, it's
all right, so change. So that kind of change is not easy.
No. No. It really isn't, because, like, you know, they're all around. I mean, it's almost like just things are designed to suck you into these places.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Food.
So I guess it's a lifelong thing, this idea of change.
But as you mentioned before, listen, moderation, you know, certain things you absolutely have to change, okay? You don't use. That's like the main thing. You don't hurt people. You don't shoot people. But other things – in moderation.
Good luck.
Food. If you smoke, all right. How about just in moderation? If you...
Good luck.
If you... what else?
Well, it's crazy because that's our issue. It's like, I don't know. I've always found to change, I actually got to knock it all out. It's all or nothing.
Yeah, that's how we are, you know?
Yes.
Hey, Judge Maddox is watching us. Did you say Ted Klotz?
Yes.
Edibles are legal in Minnesota? Did you read that?
I did not read that.
It's such a temptation. I just keep on being open and honest. Not always easy. Man, that's that. It's not easy, and just be true to yourself, Ted.
And like talk about it like this.
I mean, Todd, not Ted. You know, the main thing is, with all this, don't fool yourself. Be honest with yourself.
And play the tape, because it is one of those things with all these dispensaries, and you smell weed all over the place if you're, you know, just out walking. I mean, but just playing the tape that, like, it's not going to lead to a good place. We know that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we should all do our best to try to change the things that are not working for us and for our friends and family, or how we affect other people. You know, try to be as honest as you can. I say try to be as honest as you can, because there's nobody watching or listening to us that can say they're 100% honest. I hate to even say that. It sounds horrible, but it's true.
Yeah, I don't even know if the Pope's 100% honest. I mean,
well, I don't know.
I don't. Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody is.
No.
And
white lies,
little lies can sometimes be really detrimental to a lot of things, even though you don't think so.
My friend Joe Carey, he's been on here before, I believe. Change I must or die I will. So true.
And Judge Maddox says, amen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've had presidents that weren't totally honest.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes.
Womanizers. I mean, another, it doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, how much fame you have. You got stuff in your closet that either you're trying to fix up or you're not willing to change.
And that's the humility of the whole thing, right? As humans, we have our defects and our assets. And I guess for us recovering people, it's always trying to kind of keep an eye on those defects.
Absolutely. So I think if you got anything out of Mark and I in the show today, is try to do your best. Don't hurt anybody. And try to change things that you know will help you in leading a really great life. So remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Everybody
wants to shine. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.